You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio, and it's a continuation of a series entitled Chain Breaker.
So this is a sneaky chain called debt. We talked a little bit about last week about creating margin, and we're going to recap that in just a moment. But we want to focus in on debt tonight. It's that, you know, chain that kind of subtly works its way into our story. So maybe you don't have a broken marriage, and maybe you weren't in rehab, and maybe you didn't have a business that went under, and maybe you didn't have some big, you know, laundry list of things that we call, you know, the big chains in our lives. But maybe God's happy that you're at church. Maybe he's happy that you're in the kingdom. Maybe you sing in the choir or serve in Passion Kids and you've got a Jesus Bible and he's happy about all that because he's got you bound up in financial bondage and you can't do anything that God wants you to do without checking over your shoulder to see if you've got the margin to say yes to the things that God wants you to do in life. And he's like, you just keep on having that Bible study. Just make sure you don't ever seriously address debt. Because as long as he's got us in debt, he's got us in check. And as long as he's got us in check, we're not going to be free to run with the Spirit of God wherever he leads us in our lives. I did a search, and I don't recommend any of these, but I wanted to kind of get an idea without asking people face-to-face what their personal debt situation was like. That didn't feel like a good plan. So I searched, what is the average American personal debt? And I don't know if it translates to people at Passion City Church or not. I definitely don't think it's going to translate completely to this crowd right down in front, because hopefully you haven't lived long enough to get into the mess that a lot of people in this country are in. But what I found was that of people who have credit card debt in America, the average debt load people are carrying is $15,000+ of credit card debt in America. Average home mortgage in America, 181 grand. You start just kind of adding up. The average automobile loan in America, $27,000. People are paying to drive the car that they're driving. Average student loan in America, $46,950. And then the culmination of all the other kinds of debt in life, maybe I owe a friend some money, maybe I owe my parents some money, other kinds of things that we get in debt to, 134 grand per person in America. Now, I hope that, I mean, somebody give me an amen and say, that ain't my story. Okay, good. Amen. Thank you. Because that's a boatload of bondage. And when we read last week, the debtor is servant to the lender, that's a lot of servitude right there. That's a lot of, I can't move where I want to move. I can't walk at the pace that I want to walk at. I can't be generous to the things that I want to be generous toward because I've already got a massive commitment that I may never whittle down in my lifetime. And what we're saying in this series is simply this: God, A, wants you to be free of all the chains in your life. He wants you to live fearless and free. Jesus is alive. And so that is a possibility for every one of us in the place today. But specifically, he wants you to live free of debt. We talked last week. Can we just go back to the margin thing for a moment? Thank you. So we talked about how most people in America are working off of a financial mindset that basically is built around themselves. Now, that wouldn't be true of Passion City Church people, but most people don't have anything else to build their life around except themselves. And so their life is about, I'm going to go to such and such a school and get this degree and get this job and get this line of work and get in this career and build up this lifestyle and make this money and do my stuff. I mean, there's a whole culture around us about how many cars we got, how much money we got, how many girls we got, how much stuff we can show the world, how we can impress each other. It's a whole culture of that that we're all living in. It's a me-centered culture, right? And in a me-centered culture, we structure our finances like this. First thing we do is live. It's all about what I want to get, where I want to live, where I want to go, what I want to have, what I need. And so first priority, me. Second priority, I believe in savings. And so if there's some left over, I want to save. And everybody believes in savings, but it, you know, comes down to a matter of fact, after I do all the things I want to do, maybe I'll have a little bit left over to save. And then if there's anything left over, man, I want to be generous. I mean, if there's, after I live and do my thing, and after I save a little bit, if there's anything left over, I mean, I want to be a person known by stunning generosity with whatever is left over at the end of the day in my life. And so certainly if, it's a big if, there's anything left over, I want to give. And this is a normal mindset. But we talked last week about how God wants to get us out of debt, but you don't get out of debt unless you learn how to create margin. They go hand in hand. So you can't attack debt without believing that God wants to create margin for your life. We talked about Deuteronomy 28, that God wants to make us the head and not the tail. He wants us to be above and not below. He wants to open up the storehouse of heaven and pour a blessing into our lives, not just financially, but on every level. So we turned this upside down last week and said, this is what a kingdom view of finances looks like. It obviously looks like the inversion of what the world is trying to sell us. We're not the center of everything. God is the center of everything. Our life's purpose isn't to make us happy and to get what we want. Our life's purpose is to make God happy and to do what God wants. This is a gospel 180. This is the passion generation. This is Isaiah 26:8. For your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. I was dead and now I'm alive. So being alive, I'm not going to live for me. I'm going to live for the one who made me alive from the dead. And so it's an inversion where God now is at the center. And when God is at the center, everything flips upside down. So the first thing I want to do in life with my finances is give back to God what God has given to me. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. This is the Lord speaking. And then he says, test me with the full tithe, which means 10%, the first 10% of everything, and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't be able to receive or contain. What an amazing thought. And it's all hinged on a Godward lifestyle that understands that everything we have comes from God. Now, I know somebody, I was watching across the day as I've been sharing this message, and I've been seeing people's minds working. They're like, man, the budget must be really tight at Passion City Church because Pastor Louis is doing 2 weeks on the chain of debt. Only took us 1 week to get out of bitterness, only 1 week to get out of shame, only 1 week to get out of the past, only 1 week to get out of unbelief, but it's gonna take us 2 weeks to get out of debt. We must be really running low on the funds and the creditors must be knocking on the door. We must need cash. I love the fact that we are 10 years into building Passion City Church. And if that's your thinking, and I'm sure it's not anybody's thinking, I'm being facetious, but if that were your thinking, here he comes again, doing 2 weeks on debt, got that 10% thing right up there at the top, needing to skim off all of our hard-earned earnings so we can get more money into the buckets at Passion City Church. I just want to remind you in a super gentle way tonight that we're 10 years into Passion City Church and you haven't given yet. We had this place packed and overflowed at the Grove on Monday night with over 3,000 women from our city. And the person asking that question, you probably didn't sow into that. We've got the Rising happening this week, and hundreds of teenagers are going to be in this place from all over the city of Atlanta. It's going to be one of the lights out events of the month. And it is, I mean, it is a full throttle deal, and you didn't help that happen. So what I'm saying is, in a kind way, we're moving forward. We're moving into Cumberland. We went to two gatherings at Passion City Church DC today for the very first time. Our church is growing. People are meeting Jesus. People have gotten saved in every gathering today. In a message on breaking the chain of debt, people have put their faith in Jesus today. All of this is happening without your 10%, some of you. So this message isn't to get your money into our hands. This message is to get you into God's plans. Because right now, it's not working exactly the way you hoped it would be working, probably. Because God's plan is a plan of blessing for your lives. And it begins with bringing the full tithe into the storehouse. So that means when I get income, my first thought is, thank you, Lord. Not, look what I got. When I get income, my first thought is, God, I love you. You're amazing. You're a provider for me. So I want to return the first bit of that back to you. Now, when we start talking about attacking debt, we're going to talk specifically about how these two things fit. But this is what we're aiming for. You may not get here in the morning, but this is what we're aiming for. Secondly, we're inverting, so we want to save. We are not trying to save so that we can retire when we're 63 years old and get a Winnebago and drive it around the country with our spouse and, you know, rock up to the gates of hell and put the window down and tell Peter how beautiful the Grand Canyon was and how we've enjoyed the last 20 years of our lives going to Cracker Barrel every day and having an amazing ride around the world. We are not aiming at a retirement where we can go, finally, I can do what I want to do. We're starting with what I want to do, and what I want to do is serve the Lord, build the church, and build up the purposes of God on planet Earth. I want to do it at 20 years old. I want to do it at 40 years old. I want to do it at 60, at 70, at 80. I want to be pushing a walker around going, hey, everybody, Jesus is pretty amazing. And then I want to go to heaven. Now, I may rent an RV and drive it around the country a week or two on the way. But I don't want a lifestyle, and I don't want somebody to sell me a financial plan that says, save it all up so you can spend the last 20 years of your life before you see Jesus doing nothing. So we're not saying save so we can all get our big, you know, piggy bank full and ride off into the sunset. Saving is about the future because there may be a day that you can't work. There may be a day that you can't be as productive as you are now. There may be a season of life when you get to 60 or 65 that you may want to say, we want to travel around the world and sow into the work of God. And you know what? We can do it without raising a dime. We can pay our way around the world to be a part of the things that God is doing. And we're not a burden on our kids. We're not going to be a burden on the government. We're not going to be a burden on anybody. We're not looking to the United States government to pick us up at the end of the day. We are going to save our money, get a plan in place so that we can have maximum flexibility to follow God all the days of our life and to leave a wake of generosity for anybody that is coming in our stream. So saving is a big deal. I don't know what the financial geniuses say about saving, but man, just aim at 10 and 10 and you're doing really good at a starting point. And then the last thing we do is we live. You gotta eat food. Let's try not to break down into that part right now. You've got to have a place to stay. You got to pay off your debts. You need stuff. You got to live. But here's the thing. You give, you save, and get ready, because this is like walking on water talk. You live on the rest. Okay, maybe walking on water is easier. You live on the rest. And here's what I believe, based on God's word, that this model ultimately will put more blessing in your life and not less. You see, the enemy, he'll just sell you. If you give 10%, man, you got less. You start saving and you got less. You're not going to have enough. Now, God said, test me and see. If I won't open the floodgates, he said in Malachi 3:10 of heaven. So we're not talking about a little trickles coming down if you trust God. A little drop here. Little drop here, little drop here, little tiny stream coming through that you can get a teaspoon and go out and go, ain't God good? No, we're talking, he said, I'll open the floodgates of heaven and I will sweep you away into a brand new lifestyle and a brand new mentality if you'll trust me. Now, there's another component that we didn't talk about last week that I would like to mention here. All this is predicated on the idea of work. I hate to throw that in. But God loves work. God gave Adam work in a perfect garden without sin. He said, you're going to be my steward of this garden. You're going to take care of everything I've created. I've given you something to do. And that transfers all the way through Scripture. So I love that New Testament passage. And don't steal any longer, but work with your own hands so that you might have enough to share with him who has need. So God isn't averse to work, and he doesn't want you to be either. He's given you an ability, a talent, an opportunity, a skill. And work is a part of this whole equation, but all of it has a reason. And the reason is not so that I can get more. The reason is so that God can get glory in my life. And I think probably the main thing that changes all this for me is the cross. I'm so glad that when I was dead, God did not give 10%. I'm so glad he didn't say, you're going to spend an eternity separated from me because of your sinful choices, but I felt, you know, pretty generous today, and so I'm going to cut you 15 more years before you have to do that. I'm so glad that he didn't give some, but I'm glad that he gave, see, this is where the mindset changes, 100%. So you're like, God's trying to get my money. God is not trying to get your 10%. He already gave you his 100%. Oh, come on. I think we could have clapped for that. I mean, everybody could have clapped for that. He's not like, I'm going to get $235 from your paycheck. He's like, I've already given you 100% of what I have to give. Before you ever even knew who I was, I did that. So that's the thing that changes everything for us. He gave 100%. Are you with me? So that he could save us eternally from the penalty of our own foolish decisions so that we could live life to the full while we're on planet Earth. And that gospel story informs not just my eternal destination and my salvation decision, it informs my life and it informs my finances. He gave to save me so that I could live. So I give, I save to have flexibility, and then with what's left over, I live. But here's the thing, if you will follow God, the what's left over, and I can't fully explain it, but you know you can't explain a lot of things about God's goodness, his grace. If you will do this and this, the what's left over is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. And when it does, you're not going to go, yeah, it's working. We're getting loaded. Keep tithing, babe. And then all of a sudden, you get the breakthrough and you get the $2 million and you say, we're giving $200,000 to the church and we've got $1.8 million left. We're not going on a cruise. We're buying a cruise ship, babe. We are in the black. No, you say, this is getting bigger and bigger. This is going to probably start getting bigger and bigger. This is getting bigger and bigger. Yay! This is getting bigger and bigger. And you could get to the point where this has gotten so much bigger and bigger that when you get that lump sum, whatever it came, your aunt gave you money or an inheritance thing came in or you got a big chunk of money from some deal that you did in your work and all of a sudden 75 grand dropped in and you went, let's just give the whole 75 grand. There's a need right there. It's obvious as day. We just got the money. Boom, boom, boom. And you gave 100% of what God gave to you. This is cross-informed, gospel-transformed thinking. And the world doesn't want you in on it. The reason why these numbers are so intimidating is because the world is spending billions of dollars to get you to buy into a system that says, I can have it right now. I can't pay for it right now, but I can get it right now. They are spending billions of dollars, and we've got one message tonight to undo all that. But I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can undo billions of dollars worth of damage. And that's going to keep coming your way. You're going to get an envelope this week. Somebody's going to get your breakthrough this week. You've been praying to the Lord of the breakthrough, and it's coming this week, probably tomorrow, because Siri's listening to us right now and understands everything about our lives. And you're probably going to get that premium credit card, no interest for 6 months tomorrow. And they're not even going to ask you if you work. All they require of you is, can you write? Yes, I can. My name is Louis Giglio, and I need you to send it to Post Office Box 75931, Marietta, Georgia, 30389. Here's my Social Security number, because I do have one of those. I'm not employed. I have 14 other credit cards that you should know about, because seemingly you're the people who know everything. But hey, if you need me to sign right here, I can do that. And they're like, you got $1,500 worth of credit. Bam. Boom. You want to go to Cancun? Go. Isn't this crazy? And so you go to Cancun, and I'm not sure how we're going to pay for it, but we'll worry about that later. And then you start fasting. Lord, I'm in financial bondage. I got student loans, and so I'm dedicating to a fast. And right in the middle of the fast, God says, bam, and another envelope comes in the middle of your fast. The answer from heaven arrives right at your door. You can consolidate that card and that card and that card and that card and that card onto this card. You can get a lower payment and get $2,500 more credit and get a cash advance. Yeah. Starting right now. The world is going to continue to sell you that without respect to you. They don't care who you are. They don't care what ethnicity you are, what your background is, what your education situation is, whether you've been through an illness in your family, had a death in your family. They don't care whether you're employed or not employed, whether you're in debt or not in debt. They don't care about any of that. You are a number in a system of compounding interest that is generating a jillion-dollar business. And they're counting on you and me, buying into the billion-dollar message. And God is saying, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. If you only have $700 and you're thinking, I don't even relate to this message. I have $700. I have it all in my pocket right now. That's how simple my finances are. I know where all my money is right now. Don't buy it. Start over again. Start a new way. Start a new plan. So how do we do that? Well, I want to get on to the last part of this today, and this is going to be super practical and maybe not very spiritual seeming to some people, but I think it's extraordinarily spiritual. How do we attack debt? And I'm going to lean on my friend Dave Ramsey for this, because I'm not Dave Ramsey. And so I'm going to lean on him, but you could find so easily, if you're in debt and you want a practical way to get out of debt, just search how you get out of debt, and it happens just that fast. And most of the things that you're going to find are all very, very similar, and they track along like this. We'll go quick. First thing you got to do, is this inspiring or what? Is this just super inspiring? I can tell. First thing is survey your debt. Now, some of you are like, I surveyed my debt last night, actually, about 3 a.m. while I was laying in bed. And I do that regularly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, okay, yeah, yeah. And then I got that. And then I got that. And then I got that. I think there's about 80 cents in the cup holder in my car right now. Yeah. Survey your debt. And put it all on one piece of paper. I'll just make some stuff up. You've got that large debt. Say you owe $11,000, and it's 19% interest. Mark, put all this down. How much you owe, and then what's your monthly payment? What's the monthly payment on $11,000, 19% interest going to be, just roughly? See if we got any math majors in the house. Let's just call it $200. You got that medium debt, right? Anybody got a medium debt? No, it's $4,000, and that one's got a better interest rate. It's only 11% interest that you're paying, and your monthly payment on that, let's just say it's $78. I'm just making stuff up. I'm not a financial planner. You got that small debt, and it's an easy one. It's only $500, and interest rate on that one's good for whatever reason. And it's pretty awesome because you only have to pay $38 a month on that guy. So you get all that understood. And we don't want to do this because we'd rather keep it organized in our mind and not put it on a piece of paper and look at it. Because your list, you know, may go all the way down to here. But that's starting point number one. Secondly, you have to budget. So you've got to evaluate your budget. What is a budget? Just in case, I know everybody here has a budget, but just in case, you'd be surprised. This is how much your income is over how much your expenses are. And having an understanding of that, what that is. Now, your expenses, by the way, would include all these minimum payments because you got to pay these. Because if you don't pay these, you get a late fee. And then when you get a late fee, it tacks on in a compounding way. And now you're not working against paying away debt. You're actually increasing debt. So all of these things, as you know, and your house payment and your car payment, if you have one, and your student loan payment and your food and your clothing and your rent and your gasoline and your books for school, all that goes into this equation, right? So then the third thing you have to do is you have to begin to get a plan in place to attack your debt. I'd call this a debt attack plan, a DAP. I just made that up. I like it. You got to get a DAP. And a DAP is a plan. And what Dave Ramsey says, I was reading just his insight on this. He calls his the snowball effect. So there's two schools of thought. Some people say start with the most expensive thing, which would probably deal with the highest interest rate that you've got going. Ramsey says start with the smallest thing you've got. So in this particular sort of makeshift scenario, you'd start with this one right here. And here's how he says you have to do it. You work on your expense and your budget so that you can hopefully create and squeeze out as much, if any, extra cash as possible. Let's say you did that and you came up with $100 every month that you could squeeze out of the equation. You put that with the $38 that you're paying against this guy. So now you're paying $138 against this. You're like, why would I want to do that? The minimum payment's only $38. I know, but that will take you from now until 3031 to pay that off the way things work. And so you've got to get a different mindset. I've got to go after this thing because the minimum payment is probably not working in my best interest. It's probably working in their best interest. And they're not doing you a favor by saying, hey, we're going to give you credit and you only have to pay us this much every month. They're not doing you a favor by doing that. They're not helping you by doing that. They're just putting you into a longer train of debt by doing that. So you go $138. Are there any people from Georgia Tech here? We never mentioned your football team, by the way. It's always dogs lost, blah, blah, blah. No one ever says Tech lost, but Tech loses most of the time, so maybe that's not why we put that in the story. To Duke, no doubt. Basketball school. Any Tech people here can help me out with this. How many months is it going to take, $138 a month, to knock this baby out? I love it. I'll just stay up here by myself for a while. So in 4 months' time, you have knocked this guy out. Isn't that a great feeling? Now, no, you still got some stuff, but you knocked that one out. So you're having a party right now. You're going to have a debt reduction celebration. No, not at Chipotle. At your house. You're going to invite people over, bring your own Jell-O, your flavor of choice. You can go whatever you want, go crazy, real Jell-O, unopened, and you have a celebration. Use the scissors if you have them and cut up magazines into little tiny pieces of paper and take the roll out from the inside the paper towels and fill it up with the little pieces of magazines that you cut up and shake the confetti all over your apartment while everyone eats the Jell-O. It is a very economical but fun debt reduction celebration.
Got
Yay, we paid off a debt. Let's go out to the Optimist. Sorry, Ford, but a lot of people can't afford that all the time. That's a special occasion for a lot of people, but you celebrate. And then you say, well, what do we do next? You take your $138. Are you with me? You already know where I'm going, right? You take your $138 and add it to your $78. I'm not even going to ask you what that is. And I can't add that up fast enough right now. It's $216. So you put your $216 now to work on this guy, and maybe you squeezed out another $25 somewhere because you're working on your budget constantly. So you put $25 more into this, and you started paying this guy down. It's going to take a little longer to pay this one down because it's a little bit higher mountain, but the whole time you were paying that one down, you were paying your minimum payment on that one. And so eventually, you're going to have another celebration. It may be a year and a half before you do, but so far we're, you know, only less than 2 years in and we've knocked off two things. You're like, 2 years in, man, I can't wait 2 years to do anything. And then you begin to work your way up the process. Hopefully in 2 years, you're in a different work situation. Hopefully in 2 years, you've started creating more at the bottom because you've been giving and saving. Hopefully at the end of 2 years, you're starting to see some of the floodgates happen. Hopefully at the end of 2 years, your mindset's changing a little bit. Into 2 years, you get $1,500 that you didn't expect from somewhere in life, and you take the $1,500 and say, wow, I can make a big, big, big dent in this for $1,500. And speed up my process of having another confetti jello party at our house and celebrate that I am moving and chipping away with a new mindset towards financial freedom. There is a plan if you want it. Can I just say that one more time? There's a plan if you want it. We read Deuteronomy 28, first 14 verses, ending with, if you follow my ways and my commands, I'll open the storehouse of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. I'll make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not below. You'll lend to nations and borrow from none. 14 verses of promise. But you got to keep reading in Deuteronomy 28 because starting in verse 15, from verse 15 to 68 is what happens if you choose to do it your way. And it's the curse. Not because God wants to curse anybody. He started the chapter with, I want to bless you. But he said, I recognize that you may not want to do that. You may think that you've got a better way. And if you do, I just need you to know the better way is going to lead you to a lifestyle of less. And most likely going to put you in a financial situation that's precarious to you and counterintuitive to the cross. So the fourth things, a few more things over here that Dave Ramsey encourages us in, that, and this one, I'll just say it really fast and we'll move on. You've got to reduce spending. Whew. Okay, we said it, we wrote it, we're good. Let's move on. Now, please understand, I believe in this. God believes in this. And I don't think God is opposed to you going on a vacation. We've made a lot of, you know, had a lot of laughs about Cancun. And if you were planning on going to Cancun on a credit card, you just got in the mail that you can't afford. That's a word of God for you. Just enjoy that trip. How's your dinner? Horrible. Holy Spirit's convicting me. Not loving this cruise. But there's a mentality that has to shift and change. Part of it is stewardship over ownership, and it's that whole idea that whatever I've got, I earned and I own, versus whatever I have came from God, and it all belongs to Him anyway. And that helps us shift our focus a little bit. Lord willing, we're going to be here a while. You say, well, why don't we want Jesus to come and get us out of here? Because a couple billion people don't know Him. That's why. So Lord willing, we're going to be here a while, doing the work of the kingdom of God. And Lord willing, you're going to make it to 30. You're going to make it to 40. You're going to make it to 50 years old. Or if you're 40 or 50, you're going to make it to 60. And Lord willing, if you do, you would have made some decisions now that I honestly didn't make it at a lot of you guys' age. My dad was super generous, but not a very good at any of this. And I don't recall one conversation where when I was in high school or college, anyone taught me how to save. I don't recall any of that. I was tithing because my mom was a tither and there was no chance I wasn't going to be a tither. And I also understood the gospel even at that age. And so I was tithing in high school, probably not like the full tithe, but, you know, a good effort. And I probably wasn't fully tithing in college either, but I believed in it and probably tithed some. But I wasn't doing any of this on the macro level because I wasn't taught this, and some of you weren't either. And some of you have my story. Your parents were in financial straits. Your families came from that. All you've known is, can we make it to the end of the month? Can we make all the ends meet? That's what you've known. I knew that a lot in our life. And so for a lot of us, we've come out of a system that's trying to dictate our future to us. But I believe no matter what system you came out of, no matter what your parents' view on finances, no matter what hardship you came from, some of you come from broken families and difficult circumstances where it was just all you could do to get by. And this to you is like, you're like, dude, if I had savings, I mean, that would be like the rapture to me if I had savings. I've never had savings. I never even conceived of that. I'm just scraping by, Louis. Week to week to week. And if it weren't for the credit card that came in the mail that you make so much fun of, I wouldn't be sitting here having eaten a meal the last 2 weeks. And I understand that. Some of us are not in debt because we lived frivolous. We bought things we couldn't afford. That's a 5 o'clock change up right there. I could have gotten there in the morning, but not at 5. A lot of us are not in debt because of our habit of buying things we can't afford. Although 41% of the people on this list that were surveyed said the reason they have so much credit card debt is because they buy things they can't afford. A lot of us are in this because of circumstances and the deck and the hand that came our way in life. And I believe God has compassion on that. And I believe He has mercy for you. And I believe He understands you. And I believe He wouldn't try to sell you tonight. Let's just snap our fingers and tithe next week and all this is going to change. But I believe that God wants you to take one step on a path towards something different and believe you can be different than your parents, different than your grandparents, different than your family, and different than your circumstance, whatever you came from. God can lead you to have victory in the area of finance. And He can make you the head and not the tail. And that's not just for the business owner in the house. That's for every single person in the house that wants to follow Him. And then Dave Ramsey says the last thing is just resist debt. So once you get through with this plan, maybe this is a 10-year plan for your family. Maybe God's going to bless and supply, and this could be a 5-year plan. Or maybe you could knock all this out in 4 years if you really ground at it hard. But whatever it is, at the end of it, he says, he sees so many people who get free, and then a year later, a year and a half later, somehow they fall right back into that same mindset again. God has a different plan for you and a different plan for me. The main thing as we close is this: all this takes time. So please don't give up on God. Please don't test Him for a day and say, well, it didn't work. Don't test Him for a week and say, well, it didn't work. Some of you are struggling right now and you're like, Louis, I can't do this if I do this. I cannot chop 10% off the top and have anything to even meet my expenses, much less have a little left over, much less put something extra on a debt plan. I can't do that. I can't even make that work on paper. It does not work right now. So I'm not going to sit at your table. I don't know your situation. I don't know your finances. I'm not going to stand up here and act like I know anything about your world. I'm not giving you specific advice. I'm just encouraging you to say to God, I want to do it your way. I want to honor you with my life. I want to give you not 10%. I want you to have disposal of anything that is mine in my life. I want to give my life to you, much less my wallet to you. I want to surrender my will to you, much less my wallet to you. I want to say yes to whatever you want me to do in life, not just what you want to do with my finances in my life. And God, I cannot figure it out right now. I'm so down in a hole. I cannot see how to do this. And pick up a Dave Ramsey book and dig in. Sit down with a wise person that you know has got a better handle on this and say, here's my story. How do I take the first step? But I believe if you got on your knees and said, God, I want to do it your way. I can't even see how to start doing it your way where I am right now, but I want to. I believe God will meet you right where you are with compassion. And I believe he'll encourage you. Don't get beat down if all this can't change by Christmas. It may be four Christmases from now before you start to see the light of day. But don't let the fact that it's going to be four Christmases from now deter you from seeking the light of day starting right now. Because in four Christmases from right now, there'll be a lot of Jell-O and a lot of confetti going all over the house, and there will be some kind of celebration on that day. And then you will be able to come in, theoretically, on that week when your income comes and say, I was paying $200 plus the roll-up on that, $216 plus the roll-up on that, $138, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All of a sudden, the next time an opportunity comes along 4 years from now, I've got in my monthly budget about $800 floating free. I just heard about a kid that needs to go to camp. Boom. Never saw myself as a sponsor of a kid going to camp, but boom, I did it. I'm available, God, to follow you. I want to close with this text, 2 Corinthians 9. I'm just going to read it for us. Paul is thanking the Corinthians for the way they're going to support his ministry. And he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So each of you, not just the parents among you, but each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. So now he, don't miss this, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And then he's talking about their gift to him to support his ministry. And then through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Seed in good soil. It takes a season to do its thing. But then it produces a harvest that's far greater than what you started with. And this is what God's inviting you to. The right seed in good soil, patience through whatever season it takes for that seed to do its thing, and then a harvest at the end of the day that produces more seed that can go in good soil and make that happen all over again. Do you believe that God can do that in your life? Is that kind of faith rising up in anybody in this gathering tonight? Do you really believe that God can do that in your life? And that generosity can be the story of your life. And it all begins with the cross. That place where God canceled our ultimate debt. And we know tonight that he didn't cancel our ultimate debt so that we could live every day on this earth in financial debt. But before he's wanting to talk to you about your money, he's wanting to talk to you tonight about your heart, about your soul, about your eternal life or death. He's wanting to offer you something, not get something from you. He's offering you Jesus tonight. He's offering you forgiveness, all of your sin wiped away. He's offering you a brand new start, a brand new life, a brand new identity as a son or daughter of Almighty God. He's offering you life from spiritual death. And this is what, for some of you tonight, is the most important thing. You're like, man, I do want to talk about my finances, but honestly, that's not killing me right now, and I've got a semi-decent handle on it. But this peace with God and peace with myself and forgiveness for my shortcomings and my sin, I don't have that, and I want that from God. And people all through this day have put their faith in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? On a message on financial freedom, people all day long have put their faith in Jesus at Passion City Church. I think that's pretty amazing. And I believe that's going to happen again in this moment right now.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.